there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
That's called a run, boys.
It's a good run.
Thank you. 25 Whistles, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BOBBYSPORTS to get in on the action. I got a winner today. Some days I don't have winners.
All right.
I got a winner today. I never felt better about a parlay in my life.
Ever.
Ever.
Love it.
I got a winner today. So we're going to get to that coming up in just a minute. We're going to talk to Matt Miller, talking about the 2024 NFL draft. Caleb Williams, Drake May. Every quarterback's awesome now, apparently. Which is true, though. The quarterback play is just really good. And NIL is helping because these kids are staying in school longer. So it's super cool to see that he already has his 2024. It's not a rough draft. That's funny, a rough draft, a draft.
Rough draft. That makes draft sense.
God dang. How do I not have something called the rough draft? That's a draft.
Writing it down.
It's like my brand of 420 golf. F-O-R-E.
Have you thought more of that?
Wait, no.
420. Wait, I didn't even think about the F-O-R-E 20.
That's what I said. Yeah. That was my brand name.
Man, but then
I don't even smoke weed. And I was like, this would be the perfect brand for like people that love golf and smoke weed. 420. F-O-R-E.
Are there a lot of those dudes?
I don't know.
The weed smoking golfers?
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Because people smoking weed just like normal now.
There's weed smoking everything, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't even know if that brand exists. 420, but I thought of it and I was like, that's a good one. I don't want to look it up because if it does exist, I'm going to be sad. So I don't want to look it up now. Did you already look it up?
No, but I was about to.
I looked it up.
Does it exist?
There was an event, like a 420 event.
F-O-R-E?
Yeah.
Oh. But there's no brand?
There's no brand connected to it. That's all I found.
Dude,
that's wide open. I'm going to start smoking weed just so I can have the brand.
Yeah, please.
I think I'm
please
more excited that. For that.
Please.
God, I would love it. It'd be so awesome. I could relax. Can you imagine?
You probably love everything you don't do.
Imagine me relaxing.
Oh, dude.
It's not even something crazy. Like, imagine me
enjoying life.
There are days where Mike and I will talk to each other and go, have you had lunch today? It's 4 o'clock p.m. Nope. Okay. We don't even go, well, should we eat? We just keep going. It's like I live in a constant stress. I love it or I wouldn't do it. Don't feel bad for me.
But I wasn't.
Yeah, no, don't. I'm not asking for that. I'm just express. But 420, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, watch this. Wait. Four. There you go.
I wonder if you're any good at golf, though, if you smoke.
Yeah, my friends are.
They are? They're better?
Well, they're just good. I don't know if it makes them better or not, but they're good.
I got you.
Yeah, they're pretty good. All right, let's get it. Let's get the tittle tattle.
It's time for the stupidest name ever. It's the tittle tattle with Kickoff.
Which fan base will be more annoying this weekend if they pull off an upset? Miami versus Texas A&M or Texas at Alabama?
Well, you have three annoying programs out of four, though. That's the weird thing. Which program do you think is more annoying out of Miami and Texas A&M?
If, or to say that they're back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying Alabama wins. They're not back. They're just Alabama.
They're always good.
But if Miami wins.
Miami, I can see it. Texas A&M, I can see it. Texas, I can see it. Are all three of those in your mind part of that group? Or did you have one of the other two?
No. So Miami or Texas.
Okay. So Texas A&M, though, to me is the same. Because if they win, they're going to be like, we're back. We told you. It's funny that you didn't think about Texas A&M in that light. I do because I'm a big SEC guy and I deal with Texas A&M all the time.
But do they have like the whole phrase, we're back?
No, they always talk about it.
I think they believe they're good.
They cry.
Always.
They cry like little babies. And remember, if I disrespect your program, it means I respect you, okay?
Right.
But I hate them.
Right. Okay.
They're like, oh, I'm an Aggie. I'm baby. We spend the most money on our players.
And
we're
the coach.
We're awesome. We paid Jimbo Fisher $57 million just yesterday alone. It's like, god dang. Then win a game. So of all of those, I'm going to rank them. 1, 2, and 3.
All right.
Most annoying?
Most annoying. Which I'm taking Alabama out. I love Alabama. Alabama got so annoying to me that I just love them again. Because I would get so annoyed by Bama fans. But then they just start winning all the time. And you're like, you know what? You turned into such a villain that you're now a hero again. So shout out Bama fans. Love you. Georgia now too. I'm jealous of you. I love you.
Dang, they're going to be running
it's a
wild.
Good life over there.
Yeah, it must be nice. So I'm going to go. And number one, the most annoying fan base.
Out of those three.
Yeah, it's Texas.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because they used to be good, but they haven't been in a long time. Like occasionally they sniff it a little bit, but not since Vince Young. But you would think they won a national championship every third year.
Colt McCoy.
They won a national championship.
Yeah, they got blown out because he got hurt.
Yeah, but they didn't win a national. But you would think because of the recruiting classes that they have, the money they spend, the coaches they go through, that there's some standard that they have this expectation of, and when they don't meet it, no, nobody's meeting it. They're just one to the next. On to the next. Texas is the most annoying fan base ever. I'm very jealous of them, by the way. They got awesome facilities. They do it right, man. It's awesome. Number two is Texas A&M. And maybe just because I have to hear them. Maybe if I lived down and had to hear about Miami all the time, it'd be different for me. I think proximity is probably a big part of this, where I lived in Austin for 12 years. So I'm going to go Texas A&M and Miami. Three programs that have a lot of history and are really cool. And I wish that I had the history of winning like they do. But I hate them all because I'm not them.
I don't really know the Miami fan base.
I think that they've kind of accepted more recently that maybe we're just not ever going to be back.
They keep coming back. Like, it doesn't matter who the coach is. Cristobal, we're back now, baby. Every new coach they get, it's like, Miami's back. The U of M.
Is that what they say?
The U, MIM. The MU. Because the 80s, Jimmy Johnson era,
yeah.
We weren't really understanding it then, but we can look back at it. But the 80s, and then even when they had those awesome freaking teams with like, they had like Jason Taylor, they had, and we can go through, they had like nine different first round NFL draft picks at once. I'm thinking of Jason Taylor, right?
He played for Sean Taylor. Yeah.
Sean Taylor, yes, thank you.
Yes, I know what you're talking
about. Mother, yes. Yeah.
Jason Taylor was a Dolphin, though.
Yeah.
So same city.
Miami.
Same
city. My God. Am I? Yes, that's true. Okay, so I'm going to go Texas A&M and Miami, and I'll also say this, none of them are back. All right, next.
With Clemson's ugly loss the other night, are the Tar Heels the only real contender for the Seminoles in the ACC?
Clemson will be fine. Remember last year they had the worst season ever? I think they lost two games. They're not going to win a national championship, and that's the standard they expect now. But no, Clemson's still going to be troublesome. Remember, they got a new quarterback, the Klubnik, the kid, he's really good. But Clemson is not the Clemson of 5 years ago. However, they're still going to win 10 games pretty much every year. So I think Clemson still probably wins the ACC. And that's a weird thing to say after they just got beat by Duke so handily. But I just look at history and say, well, we've been through this before and they've still really played well. I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt.
Really?
Yeah.
Over Florida State.
Yeah. Dang. Florida State does look good. I watched Florida State and Oklahoma, even in the bowl game last year, they do look good. The Florida State game, though, to me, remember, we saw them beat LSU last year too. And it was two teams that got better as the season went along. And I don't know that I believe Florida State's back.
Like those other programs.
I know. Wow.
Another Florida team.
I know. They're back, baby. All right, what else?
The first NFL Sunday kicks off this weekend. Which game are you most excited for?
Oh, it's called All. All.com.
What about the first?
All.com. The Thursday night one.
Yeah.
Mike, when does this air?
Friday.
Oh.
You mean the one last night?
The one last night.
Great game.
How exciting was that?
It was
that?
Crazy. When those life-size ants crawled onto the field.
Yeah. Who saw that coming?
Not me. We taped this right before the game. I didn't know if this was going up this afternoon or tomorrow.
It's exciting.
But right now, it's Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I'm excited. The word's not excited. I'm intrigued by the Browns because they should be good. They don't really have a weak situation on their team offensively or defensively. One that you look at as their vulnerability. Their offensive line's good. Top 5-7 offensive line. Amari Cooper's good. They got receivers. Deshaun Watson's supposed to be good.
Nick Chubb's
awesome.
Yeah.
Their defensive line. Like, they have it everywhere. Problem is, they're Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem is Deshaun Watson still awesome? You weren't really going to expect him to come in last year through a suspension and just set the world on fire, but he didn't. He also didn't. It was not good, but he's supposed to be really good. And according to Eddie, a really good guy.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what they say. He's really turned things around. He's a bad dude for a little bit, but he's good now.
No, I'm just kidding. Eddie didn't say he's a really good guy.
Eddie just never said
I like how Eddie was like, yeah, why not? Yeah.
I think he's changed things around, man.
Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah, sure.
That Browns-Bengals game is very interesting to also see Joe Burrow, to see if he's healthy or how healthy he is. 49ers and Steelers are going to be good. I think Pickens, big year this year. I think Pickett plays with two gloves, and that's weird. He throws the ball with gloves on his hands.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think his hands are so small, he uses that extra layer to make it,
you know, better grip.
And just larger hands.
Yeah, I guess so.
He puts padding in there. It's like my underwear when I was like 15. That game's good. Packers and Bears. I'm ready to see if Fields really steps up. He's got a number one receiver now, and DJ Moore. Like, he played so good the last 8 games of the year last year with the Bears. And also Jordan Love with the Packers. Tua, what quarter will he get his first concussion?
Is there an over-under on that?
It's just like, if he even gets hit halfway, he's going to have to come out of the game.
Yeah.
The Chargers, Justin Herbert, it's like, I get it. He's supposed to be good, but he's never done anything. Everybody's talking about how he's elite. He's on this elite level. And I used to believe him, but now he's never done it. He was hurt last year.
He played through it.
But okay, great. But he didn't show me he was elite. I know he is because the people that are smarter than me say that. But okay, show it then. Is this the year he shows it? The Cowboys are going to be really freaking good.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Cowboy.
That's exciting.
I'm not a Cowboy fan, but they're going to be good.
You are a Cowboys fan.
I know I am. And the Giants are going to be good. Well, Dable's second year with that offense and Daniel Jones. All those are exciting to me. So like I said, all.com.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yeah. I can't get enough of that. Yes. Let's go.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monday.
Monday night game.
Tomorrow's Saturday, then the Sunday, then Monday.
Yeah.
Because today's Friday. All right. And finally,
last one, which rookie quarterback do you think will have the best day in his first start? Bryce Young at the Falcons, Anthony Richardson versus the Jags, or CJ Stroud at the Ravens?
The Bryce Young situation is scary because that offensive line just is not good. I would pick anybody against the Falcons, honestly, but that offensive line, they gave him no time in any of these preseason games. Anthony Richardson's going to be interesting because I think this dude is going to put up some crazy games, but also make some bone. I think he's going to be a really good fantasy quarterback, but not the greatest normal quarterback, because he's going to make a couple minus twos that are going to cost him games, like interceptions, minus 2 points, or a fumble, but I think he's going to get crazy fantasy points, but I just don't think he's going to be able to win games with that team as well. Not him for sure, but also it's not like he's surrounded by a bunch of weapons. Jonathan Taylor's not even playing.
Right.
CJ Stroud, I don't know. I don't have a feel on that. Houston sucks. And he just looks like a slow statue quarterback with a really good arm. And how effective is that going to be in an offense where that offense isn't really built for anything to succeed right now, much less a quarterback that's not really making plays for himself as well? that can do the extra. Not that he always will need to, but when you have a bad offensive line, it's like Barry Sanders. We used to play for Detroit. You know why he has so many freaking highlight videos of him being doing crazy things? Because he had to do crazy things.
Broke eight tackles.
Yeah, and that was to get 3 yards. Right. So I'm probably going to go Bryce Young at the Falcons only because it's the Falcons. That's the only reason. But I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to have a Kit Kat bar. Oh, man, it's going to be good. All right, that's Tittle Tattle.
The stupidest name ever is the Tittle Tattle with Kickoff
Kevin. A reminder, 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. Are you ready?
Let's go.
More smiles. All smiles, no frowns.
Come on, baby.
A.S. NF. Sounds dirty.
And that's a long one.
ASMF.
It's a long acronym.
All smiles, no frowns. ASMF sounds bad. But we're going to go with it. It's a four-gamer, four-game parlay, four-game parlay, four-game parlay. We're going to have a four-game parlay.
Another one.
All money lines. Notre Dame money line at North Carolina State.
Yeah, I like that.
Oklahoma money line at SMU versus SMU.
That's going to be a fun one.
That's probably.
Now, listen, I'm picking Auburn. What, Mike?
Can't say that.
What? Oh, that's what I said?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we beeped it.
Yeah, so you didn't say anything.
No. Hey, free smiles. Can I say that, Mike?
Legally, yeah.
Okay, you got free smiles. My attorney, Mike D's, over there.
You can't say that.
So we got Notre Dame money line, North Carolina State. Oklahoma money line versus SMU. This one's a little, I get it, a little risky.
You need a risky one in there.
Oh, I got a couple.
Oh, boy. I was hoping it was just one.
The Hugh Freezes at Auburn. The Hugh Freezes. Auburn Tigers at Cal. Now, not the craziest of crazy, but this is a whole new Auburn team. I'm picking that. And then finally, the craziest of them all. Two top 25 teams playing each other. Tulane's getting a lot of love, but Ole Miss is going to lay the smackish downish on the headish. So we got Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Auburn. Those are my four-game parlay. Okay. If you want to take 25 Whistles Parlay, check out DraftKings Sportsbook. New users use the code BobbySports when you download the app. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER in New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. See show notes for full details.
You're at plus 160.
Yeah, sure am. Boom.
So let's drop some smiles on there to get more smiles.
Yeah, I feel...
I like it.
Me too. That's it. Thank you. We're going to go talk to Matt Miller now. Matt Miller, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited for this.
Man, me too. I'm excited too because somebody that's already dialed into the 2024 mock, like that's where my head is anyway, but I don't have the knowledge that you do. And I'm watching all
that's
these.
That's why I exist, man. That's the whole point of my job is for that.
I was so excited to talk to you because this past week, you know, as we go into, it's week two, but week zero, so week three, you get it. But I'm watching Riley Leonard play at Duke and you know, they're beating the crap out of Clemson. And I'm like, dang, Riley Leonard is such a baller. And I really hadn't heard his name a lot, as in all the quarterbacks, the Drake Mays, the Caleb Williams. I watch Michael Penix Jr., who just has a cannon. I believe he's left-handed. Yeah. He's left-handed, right?
Yeah.
And I'm watching him. And there are so many quarterbacks. It feels like more than ever before that are elite. Now, as we look at the draft next year, am I right about that? Are a lot of these guys going to end up coming out? Like, how do you see all these quarterbacks shaping up?
Yeah, I think you're right about that for sure. And it is, you're right to notice it's a deep class. There's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it is, you know, guys like Michael Penix, who didn't enter the NFL draft last year, decided to go back to school. Some of it is that we have, you know, the beauty of Caleb Williams and Drake May. Drake's at North Carolina, Caleb's at USC, who we saw last year break out. But it's just a super deep class. And I think it's 7-on-7 has these guys playing high-level quarterback a lot earlier. They're not just playing 10 games of high school football like we all did. They're playing football year-round. That helps. So it is a really deep group. And if they all enter, we could go into like a five-hour conversation about NIL and how that has changed the landscape of college football in the NFL draft. But should these guys all enter, we're looking at really a very, very deep group. Coming off what was last year, a very deep group. You know, we saw three in the first round, but round two, round three, round four, we're seeing a lot of those guys make NFL rosters and be counted on as know, high level backups, maybe even quarterback of the future type guys.
Are there six or seven though that could go in the first round next year? It just seems like this class is so there's just so much more quality as well.
Yeah, right now it looks that way. I wouldn't say six or seven because like we're talking record setting when we get to six or seven. It is interesting to see, like you said, whatever you want to call it, week two, week three, whatever we are in right now. There's so many guys that came out and played at a high level right off the bat. And so now, like, my job is to track them. Let's watch over the next 10 weeks of football, 12 weeks of football, and kind of see what happens. Because there were guys who also maybe didn't perform super great in their first two games that still have a chance to ride back up that ladder. You mentioned Riley Leonard, who had, you know, a standout game Monday night, Labor Day, everybody's watching. He actually didn't throw the ball that well. If you look at his stat line, he was like 50% completion percentage. It's what he did with his legs. It's what he did with that 44-yard touchdown run. Those are kind of the things that you remember, but it'll be watching that progress of guys like that and see how they climb the ladder, who can be the player that kind of emerges as that quarterback number three after Caleb Williams and Drake May. Is it Riley Leonard, who I know my guy Mel Kiper Jr. loves? Is it someone like Shedeur Sanders at Colorado, who his first game at Power 5, he threw for over 500 yards and looked very impressive. So there's a lot of names out there that we'll have to keep track of now.
With Duke, too, you know, with Riley's like 6'4", right? I mean, and again, yeah, you say 50%, he didn't have to throw a whole lot. But just looking at him, he's a big old boy and also able to play quarterback where it wasn't like impeding him that he was so big. He just looked like a naturally 6'4", you know, NFL-type body.
Oh, you're right. I actually had to look. I texted a friend of mine and was like, how big is he? Because I, you know, a million things going on at once, and he's compact. So you kind of look at him and you think 6'1", 6'2", especially for how well he moves. Then you realize he's 6'4", 212. You see the video of him doing 360 dunks in high school as a basketball player. And then to have some of the ability as a runner that he has at Duke. This isn't a small guy who's frail and has opened himself up to big hits either. I mean, at 212, he's able to absorb some contact and deliver some contact. So those are things that you can get really excited about is that athletic ceiling that he has. You know, Duke obviously has had some good quarterbacks in the past, Daniel Jones being one of those, who was also a very good runner as well as thrower. I think you can see a ceiling for Riley Leonard. As much as I don't like to compare players from college to college, you can kind of see a ceiling of what type of player he could become.
You mentioned Shedeur Sanders. Was he already, you know, on the list of these? This guy could possibly be a top three or four round quarterback, but now you go maybe his ceiling is higher than we initially thought?
I'll tell you this. I work with NFL scouts, agents, college coaches, you name it, to get a list over the summer of players to scout. And that list is like 1,500 players long. Shedeur Sanders was not on that list. Some of that is because he's a junior, and so you don't know if he's going to enter the draft after this year or not. So there's some, you know, a little bit of ambiguity there. But even watching him play at Jackson State last year, it was like, gosh, he was dominant. But you always have that question of, you know, was he a big fish in a little pond at Jackson State? You're not necessarily competing against other 4- and 5-star type players. When you go to Colorado, TCU, you're playing against 4- and 5-star players, 3-, 4-, 5-star. To have that debut performance absolutely puts him on the map as a draft prospect, as a Heisman candidate. I mean, he's the name that you're getting asked about the most this week as an NFL evaluator. Like, hey, what about that Colorado quarterback who looked really good throwing for over 500 yards in his debut? And, you know, it doesn't help being Coach Prime's son because you know he's going to get some good PR that way.
He's also Louis Vuitton luggage, if you remember correctly. You know,
right.
Coach Prime's bringing his luggage, and it's Louis Vuitton, and you know that was part of it. Let's talk about Spencer Rattler. We spent some time with Shane Beamer over in Columbia, South Carolina, a few weeks ago, just hanging out, learning about the program, and I'd asked him about his offensive line, and that seemed to be a big question, at least from outside in, because otherwise, South Carolina, great year last year, Rattler was coming back, but then I watched him lose that game to North Carolina, and their offensive line struggled because Rattler can throw the ball, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And being someone who follows Oklahoma because of my wife, and I'm a big Southeast Conference guy because Arkansas, so I followed Spencer Rattler the whole time, the whole saga. Like, what? I've never seen a guy that was the favorite for the Heisman. You know, then Caleb Williams takes over for him, goes away, comes back to South Carolina, has a shot, stays. Like, what even is his ceiling? What even is his floor at this point? Because he throws so well, but it's just not happening yet for him.
Yeah, on potential, on traits, you look at the arm strength, the ability to make things happen. We call it off platform. When a guy's kind of running around back there, creating on his own, when you think of like a Patrick Mahomes, or go back to even a Johnny Manziel in college, somebody that's just able to create, he does all that really well. Where he struggles is when you get into that structure, the framework of the offense of 1-2-3, throw the ball, 1-2-3-4-5, throw the ball. That's not where he's at his best. You know, he is a little bit of a shorter guy, can struggle to see over the line a little bit, but the arm strength and the creativity makes me think, like, let's get him somewhere where he can be developed. That last year he ended so well. The last two games last year, you thought, this guy's really rehabilitating his draft stock. Let's see what he can do. Come out against the North Carolina defense that really had their way with them. And you're right, Bobby. I'm a Texas fan. I'm glad we got deep into the interview before I told you that. But watching him come in at halftime, and Caleb Williams comes in at halftime to replace Spencer, you got the OU fans chanting, we want Caleb at halftime. Here he comes, and that story has written itself now. But it's been a tough road for Spencer Rattler, and I think everybody was hoping that this year would be kind of a redemption tour for him a little bit, because he has, you know, kind of got pushed out and had a tough go of it. He may have stayed at OU had we known that Lincoln was going to leave and that Caleb was going to follow him. And it's really been an interesting situation.
Would he be again, this is all speculation, but you're the guy I want to talk to about speculation, because I trust your speculation. But would he be a top four rounds pick right now?
I would say no, because like what you and I were talking about earlier, how deep this year's class is, you know, traditionally we don't see that many quarterbacks drafted. You think about supply and demand. Every team needs a quarterback, right? It feels like, except for like the Chiefs and the Bengals, the Bills, the Eagles. But most teams carry two quarterbacks. We're seeing that right now. So there's really room for about 64 quarterbacks in the NFL. And so you're not going to bring in 20 new ones every draft class. I think 12 to 13 is about normal in terms of the entire draft. So for Spencer to jump a guy like we talked about, a Riley Leonard, to jump a Bo Nix at Oregon, or a Michael Penix at Washington, Michael Pratt at Tulane, doesn't seem very likely at this point. But you know, we've still got 12 games. Hopefully we'll see him in an all-star game, whether that be the Shrine game or the Senior Bowl after the year, where he can really help improve that draft stock.
We do jump to conclusions. I mean, we had one week, Matt, and I'm like, it's over. Number two. I mean, right. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to. So as far as Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State has, year after year, they're just pumping out elite receivers, right? Elite receivers, one after the other. And he played with a lot of those guys. He played with those, you know, a lot of the guys that are in the NFL now. So is he as elite as he is in your draft? I know you have him going number two to Arizona, but that's because they probably also have the number one pick. Would he go in as a top three pick to a different team? Or is it because if Arizona does get that pick from Houston and their own pick, that they're going to pick based on need? Or is he good enough to be a top three player by himself anyway?
Yeah, he's good enough. He's my number two ranked player. And I've talked to teams who say he's the number one ranked player in this draft class. He's so special. I mean, everything he does, he makes it look easy, and it's actually really hard. You know, change of direction, the way he tracks the ball. To be 6'4", 215 pounds, and to be able to adjust his body the way he does, whether it's, you know, going up to grab a ball or getting low to catch something, it is truly phenomenal. And I think we'll probably see a dip in production this year because they're breaking in a new quarterback in Kyle McCord. They have a very deep receiver room, as you mentioned, but that should not take away from his greatness. And you talk to Brian Hartline, who was their receivers coach, is now their offensive coordinator. And also, you know, he was a great at Ohio State and played in the NFL. And he'll tell you that Marvin is special. To have his size and understand the intricacies of the position is really rare. And he's going to get mentioned alongside names like Calvin Johnson and Julio Jones and AJ Green, who were top five picks at the wide receiver position, which is something that just really doesn't happen that often.
We were talking pretty recently about the best college wide receivers we had seen, and Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech. And I didn't even think about AJ Green at Georgia until you just mentioned, and obviously I watched AJ Green freaking dominate Julio Jones at Alabama when they had just a running team, but they would just throw it to Julio because he was just bigger and faster than everybody else. When you mentioned those three, like, they were so elite. And Marvin Harrison, you're saying is that?
I think so. I think on traits, on talent, yes. Now, Ohio State spreads the ball around so much. You know, at Georgia Tech, when Calvin was there, they were still running the triple option. So we didn't even really get to see what he could really be as a wide receiver. So Marvin might not hit those numbers this year. He might not hit those markers where you look back and you're like, that was a historically great season. But I think on just the ability to play wide receiver, yeah, he's up there with those names. And Calvin is different. There's a reason they called the guy Megatron. Physically, I don't know that we'll see, you know, Calvin Johnson, DK Metcalf. They're in a tier by themselves physically. So I don't want anyone to expect Marvin Harrison to be 235 with 4% body fat. That's not who he is. But at just being great at playing wide receiver, he's definitely up there with those guys.
You have Caleb Williams going number one. I feel the same way, but I'm not as smart about it as you are. But what is so different about Caleb Williams from an expert's opinion?
The ability, I would say, to be poised when there's chaos. Sometimes he makes that chaos himself, you know, where he wants to run around and extend plays. But he's so great at keeping his eyes down the field, of finding calm under chaos is what he's great at. And I hate comparing anyone to Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the greatest quarterback on the world right now. But Caleb does some things that you've only ever seen Patrick do in terms of, I'm going to drift away from my offensive line and make a play 25, 30 yards downfield. You know, Caleb had one of those last week where, you know, it feels like the play's going to break down, but he's fast enough, strong enough, poised enough. He's got a great enough field vision to find his guy when a lot of players are not going to be able to do that. They're going to panic when they see, you know, defensive linemen in their face, when they feel that pressure of defensive linemen chasing them, they're going to panic. And he doesn't do that. And the fact that as a college junior, he has that much poise just makes you feel really great about where he can get. And, you know, Bobby, the fact that he has no deficiencies. You look at his game, you know, he's 6'1", 215. That's definitely big enough. Arm strength is there. Accuracy in terms of completion percentage is there. You watch the athletic ability for him to run around and create and make plays, or even what he does as a runner. He checks every box from if we went down a list of traits at quarterback, he's going to hit every one of those. Then you add in kind of that special rare talent of how he's able to go out and create and play off platform. That's what makes him really, really special.
Yeah, the intangible thing. And I hate the guy that goes, do you remember this play? But I'm about to do that to you. There was a play when they were playing Kansas. Oklahoma was about to get beat, and he took the ball from his own running back. And that he pulled it from his arms as his own running back was getting tackled. And they ended up going to win that game because, again, he just had the wherewithal to go, okay, well, game's about to be over. I'm going to pull the ball back from my own player and win the game. Like that, you don't see that very often. And it seems like he's doing that so many times that it's not just luck.
Yeah, and let's remember, he's 20, 21 years old. So it's like he has that confidence in his own ability at that age. And that's only going to increase, you would think. You know, more repetition, more success, that confidence and belief in himself is only going to increase. And it's crazy. We, in my profession, especially with quarterbacks, you almost want to see them handle adversity. You know, what do you look like when things aren't going well? And I think for Caleb, you know, it's the, you know, battling with Spencer for that starting job as a freshman. It's the transferring to a new system and having to acclimate on the fly. And oh, by the way, you got and score 50 touchdowns and win the Heisman Trophy. You know, he's not playing with the Alabama offensive line in front of him. He's breaking in new wide receivers consistently. So I think we've seen him. Yes, he's with Lincoln Riley, which helps a lot. USC is not football poor in any sense of the word, but we have seen him, you know, have to adapt. And I think that's the thing you really like to see.
How many weeks next season until Texas starts to wish they weren't in the SEC?
I think it's already going to happen. It's going to happen Saturday when they play, when they have to go to Tuscaloosa. And it's like, oh, what did we do? But, you know, when the check's clear from the SEC media rights, I think everyone would be pretty happy. But Sark's got a tall task. You know, I firmly believe they made that firing and hiring with the idea that we've got to win in the SEC and this guy knows how to do it. So at Texas, you can't just be recruiting classes. Eventually you got to be wins. And I think that's where they're at this year.
Yeah. I give you a hard time being a Texas fan, and my wife and that whole family, they're all diehard Oklahoma fans. And you know, they're just happy about going to the SEC. Everything's going to be the same in their mind, you know? And I'm like, I can only say so much. And also they could prove me wrong. But I'm like, you're not getting to play Iowa State. You're not getting to – there's a couple of those, but they're not even consistently bad. It's you better catch right. Auburn on a year when Hugh Freeze has got his first year. You better catch Mississippi State. Like, they got to put in a new coach because their other coach died. Like, I mean, so it's like even the bad teams except for Vanderbilt, and they're getting better. Like, there aren't any Big 12-type guaranteed wins in the SEC, and I think that's exciting. I love that Texas and Oklahoma are coming because I respect the program so much. Like, love the history. As a fan of Texas, though, and just your personal feelings, like, is it exciting to go to the SEC, or are you more nervous about it?
Both. I think both. As an analyst, like, put my job hat on first, it's exciting because you always want to see best first best, and so you're going to get that. And I live in SEC country. I live, like, an hour and a half from University of Arkansas. So it's like, okay, now for me, I got that hour and a half drive. I can go watch Texas come through, Oklahoma come through. Every weekend in Fayetteville is now a great weekend for me to go scout players. So I'm excited about that. I think as a fan, someone that's watched the University of Texas for 30 years, it's scary because the SEC is, I mean, how many national championships in a row are we talking right now? And you've got Nick Saban, greatest college coach of all time. Kirby Smart in Georgia look unbeatable. Despite what LSU put on the field Sunday night, that's always a tough program. You've got those, like you said, every stop, even Vandy, there's times they're tough and well-coached, and they're going to have some guys out there. And Texas, I mean, they struggled with Rice in the first half last week. And so I think that's the thing when you get in the SEC, you can't have those where you play down to your competition because those teams will smack you in the mouth. They're too talented. And that's really where Sark's got to figure out a way to turn this team around. Like, you know, they're going to play up to Alabama. They did it last year. They'll probably do it again this year. But you got to, like, in the SEC, you beat Rice 70-7. You know, you don't play Rice close, and that's what they did last week. So that's where I get a little bit nervous.
And I say it out of respect. I hate Texas and Oklahoma, but I love them because I always say on this show that if I hate your program, it's because either you beat me or I don't want to have to play you or I'm annoyed that you're getting all the good players, right? That it's like hating someone in sports is a sign of respect. So I hate Texas. And I grew up in Arkansas, and we hate Texas. But I'm so excited. When Texas came to Fayetteville last year, and we won, like, we flipped our crap. We stormed the field. It was like, it's that old school rivalry. And I'm not even bragging. I mean, I am a little. But it's that old school rivalry that we're losing a lot of because of all the conference realignment. But some of it is getting put back into play in certain areas as well because of that. And I'm super excited that Texas is coming to the SEC just because I can't wait to beat the crap out of you. That's the truth. That's what it's about.
I mean, I'm just glad KJ Jefferson won't be there next year for this to happen.
Possibly. He could stay another year.
Right. With these COVID guys playing 7 years of college football now. So maybe. But it's going to be exciting. Like I said, living so close to U of A, like being able to just hop down there to watch these great teams come through every weekend is I'm going to be spoiled.
Eddie.
Yeah, Matt. So, like, you're so knowledgeable with all of these players, all of these teams. Like, are you ever at a barbecue with a bunch of bros and they're talking sports and you're like, guys, like, you don't know what you're talking about?
No, because I think sports are so objective. Like, my son and I were eating last night and he likes to be quizzed about football. And I was like, who's the greatest player ever? He was like, Tom Brady. And then my daughter across the table is like, that's just an opinion. It's Joe Montana. And like, so like, there's no right answer. You know, it's just like, what is your opinion? You know, it's not how many points is a touchdown worth. It's okay. It's six. So I think a lot of my friends have also known me from before I worked in sports. You know, when I was just like the really nerdy guy who was oddly obsessed with the NFL draft, but no one was paying me to talk about it. So they definitely still give me, you know, enough trash about the days when no one cared what I had to say about sports. They're probably still in that category.
Two, being someone who's an expert in sports, like, you have to also look athletic or you get a bunch of crap. I never thought about this. So let's say Matt goes out and it's like, hey, let's just throw the ball around. And he throws like some of these actors playing football players and they can't throw it all. Right. It's like, you kind of have to be that dude a little bit too, since you're elevating in the sports world.
I had not thought of it that way.
So oh, great.
I'm going to go jog today or something. I always tell people I went to a 1A high school in Missouri, which means that there were like, you know, 120 kids in the whole high school. And I was probably the worst football player on the varsity football team. So I don't have any, you know, great stories of my athletic ability from back in the day. I'm sure anybody from my high school who catches this will be shaking their head at that. Like, yeah, nope. He was probably better on the newspaper yearbook staff than I was the football team.
Yeah. Being a late bloomer though. You can always lie. That's the thing.
That's true. Right.
You can always lie. Be a late bloomer.
20.
That's right. Everybody go check out the NFL mock draft for 2024. To me, it was so fun to see it because, again, I am oddly obsessed with it. And, you know, I also am just so curious about, you know, the Rams and the Cardinals and these teams that are not going to win. I mean, the Cardinals have tanked already. They when they cut Hopkins, they did it so they would fill part of their freaking budget up, you know, because you have to have a minimal. And so they're like, well, we'll just cut them and our salary cap's going to be eaten up somewhat. Like, they're doing strategic things to lose every game. It's wild. And so to watch the Cardinals tank for Caleb Williams and then also have that Houston pick where they could end up being 1-2 or 1-3 and they're praying to God that Stroud doesn't have an amazing, like, it is so exciting for next year, especially with all the big quarterbacks. So when I saw your list come up, I loved it. And I'm a big fan of your work. So thank you for coming on today.
No, man, I'm a huge fan of your work as well. So this is great. We'll have to do it again.
Man, I'm telling you, the Cardinals, they want to play with nine players. Like, I think they would go to nine players and just be like, oh, we didn't know we needed 11 this year.
I'd watch that.
Like, they're going to tank so hard. So, but, right, don't, right. I mean, how do you tank with that with a bunch of professionals, though? Like, what would you do strategically, Matt? How would you tank that team?
I would do exactly what they did. I would cut Colt McCoy the last week of the preseason and say, Josh Dobbs, who we just traded for, or Clayton Tune, who we drafted this year, you're going to, one of you is going to roll out there and play quarterback. And it's tough. You know, it's, you've got 53 professionals and they have to think about their next contract. They have to think about their careers. Like, they don't want to lose either. But if ownership says, y'all seen Caleb Williams or have you seen Drake May? It's pretty hard to, you know, go against what the owner ultimately says, if that's what is happening. But I'll throw this out there, Bobby. We have to remember Caleb Williams has another year eligibility as well. And he is a very smart young man. He's a very savvy young man. He does not need the money thanks to NIL. This is not like it used to be where young guys are looking at the NFL saying, man, that's $30 million that I would have to turn down. Caleb Williams could stay at USC for another year if he does not like that team in the top spot, take his NIL money, which I'm sure is very, very lucrative, and say, I'll roll the dice next year. You know, he can also pull an Eli Manning and say, sorry, Cardinals, I'm not playing there. I know how talented I am. I know my leverage. I don't want to be there. So not saying I've heard any of those things, but Caleb Williams is a unique player and probably a prospect we have. It's Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck. You know, those are the types of names he's getting mentioned with where those guys have a lot of leverage. They don't necessarily just have to go along with, on the first pick, let me go to the worst team in the NFL.
The Eli Manning thing was so bizarre. Remember the Chargers drafted him and ended up being the Phillip Rivers trade. But Elway, and this is before me, and I'll wrap on this because you just send me into a different place. Didn't Elway say, I'm going to go play for the Yankees?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Because who was trying to draft John Elway initially?
The Colts. The Baltimore Colts.
Yeah. And he was like, no, I'll just go play baseball for the Yankees then. I mean, but now they have even more leverage than that because of the money they can make at NIL with NIL. And you know what?
Yeah, it'll be fascinating.
I fund some of that. Right. I do. I fund a little bit of that myself. Matt Miller, you guys follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He came out with his new mock draft. I want you to check it out because it is so good if you're like me. Matt, big fan. Thank you for the time. Would love to talk to you again sometime soon.
Sounds great. And hook him, Bobby.
Nope. I will never say that or acknowledge it.
Put him up.
No, I will not do that. And I'll hang up on him now. All right. All right. See you, Matt.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you believe we've had 7 months without an NFL game? Let's go. It's crazy, though. Well, good thing all that's over. NFL is here. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. Yeah, you heard that right. DraftKings is hooking everyone up with game day greatness. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. Check the app. See what you get. Download now. Use the code BobbySports to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's the code BobbySports, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. 21 and up in most eligible states.
but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. See show notes for full details.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are doing the rest of this podcast from an airplane.
How did we get here?
We were just in the studio. So, the American Indians, Native Americans, they had this land.
Yes, they did.
And we, the white man, stole it.
Yeah.
We're terrible. And then you, the brown man, came at a later point.
No. I was here too, because according to my 23andMe DNA stuff, I am Native American.
Yeah, but I'm also like North African.
Prove it. So
okay.
Wow. Okay, he is.
See, I didn't want to do that.
Wow.
But yeah. So if you hear like a zzzz on a plane, we're currently flying over to Fayetteville, Arkansas to shoot an episode of Too Much Access, our football show. So we have an hour, and I was going to actually bring up a couple things while we were talking about this. We had our draft last night of the teams and how good they play. You make money, and if they lose, you lose money.
Yeah.
We did it last year, and I had
the Cowboys last year.
Had the Cowboys as a winner, and they did pretty good for me, and I had the Bears as a loser, and that did great for me. But you can pick a team to win or pick a team to lose. So the a couple factors that I didn't know last year when we were doing the draft was – if you pick a team to lose and they lose all the games and you do really well, the playoffs still pay out. So the good teams get to keep making money.
Mm.
So there's a slight disadvantage if you pick a loser because they're not going to make playoffs.
Yeah, three games or so.
But not a huge one.
Sure.
But it could be. So they start bidding on – there are six owners in this league. Matt Stell, House, who – is on with Bill Simmons a lot, all this group of guys. Same guys from last year. Chandler, who used to play for the Cowboys a little bit, played for...
Chandler?
Yeah, the tight end.
Scott Chandler?
Scott Chandler, yeah.
Okay. Oh.
And Bills?
Was he a Colts?
Yeah.
But did he play for Cowboys for a second, too?
He might have. I remember on the Bills.
Okay. Regardless, who cares?
He's in there, too?
Yes. We all have these teams, and we're... So, first... Matt Stell is like, all right, you guys can bid for your auction spot. So there's six. It's like a snake draft, but you – I don't even know what's a good spot. Like, I know in fantasy what's good, but I don't really know, like, one or six. So I don't spend any money on a spot. I'm just going to let it happen. So somebody bids, like, $300, and they buy spot four. Somebody else bids spot six. So I don't spend any money on the draft.
So you're going to just take whatever's left.
Whatever's left. Me and another dude were like, we're not spending money on this crap. We lost too much money last year. We're not doing this crap. So I got number two, spot two.
Not bad.
I don't know, right?
Without bidding?
Without bidding.
Interesting. No one else wanted that?
And he got one. Nobody wanted one. Now, it's every team to win or lose, and you have to have six teams. So you have to draft six teams total. There aren't 36 teams in the NFL. Right?
No.
Right. So 6 times 6 is 36, so you got losers, you got winners.
Yeah.
Some teams are drafted as a winner and a loser. And so I went second overall. So I'm going to ask you who, in my position, who you would have picked. Second overall, winner or loser, the first pick that went off the board was the San Francisco 49ers as a winner.
That's perfect.
As a winner.
I would have been excited about that because that's my loser.
No, no, it doesn't be a loser. I can be a winner or loser. I can pick the Chiefs winner. I can pick the Eagles winner. I can pick a loser. It doesn't matter.
Right, but I would go with the Cardinals.
So over the Chiefs winner or Bills winner?
Correct.
Or, okay, just making sure everybody understands
the rules. I can guarantee that the Cardinals are going to be bad.
So
I can't guarantee that those other teams are going to be good.
Kevin, you would have picked in this spot?
Arizona Cardinals.
As a loser?
As a loser.
And every time they lose, I win?
Correct.
Got it. Who would you have picked?
Dang, that's a good one. Because of their division that they play in. That's why it's such a good one. Winner.
Now you pick any.
Or loser.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else is going to be really bad. The Buccaneers?
Ooh, I'm asking who you would pick.
That's a good bet. That's a good one.
You have the second pick. Who are you taking? You can pick a winner, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Eagles. Ooh. You can pick a loser, the Texans, the Buccaneers, whatever you want.
Okay. I'll take... Man, that's tough. You already took the Cardinals?
No, you're a new person.
I'll take
the Cardinals, yes.
Okay, I took the Cardinals.
Yes, sir.
It was the earliest anybody's ever taken a loser.
Yes. That's great. That's
I was like, they're taking the season.
Exactly.
So I took a loser. They're like, dang.
Now they're going to win a couple games.
That's okay, though. But
that's all right.
Even the best teams lose a couple games.
Yeah.
So that's how I was looking at
it. Okay.
Are they going to be as bad as the best team is good? And I think the answer is yes. Where they could go 13-4. The other way, though.
Yeah.
Like 4-13.
Yeah.
Or like a winning team, like the Chiefs could go 13-4. So the problem is, though, I don't get any playoff money with a loser.
Yeah.
But so I went first, and everybody, the room was like, oh, nobody ever goes loser in the first round.
You're like the guy at the crafts table that does the no pass.
You're all zigging, you're zagging.
So, boom. So I hit it. Okay, boom. Cardinals lost. I don't have the whole order here, but there was not another loser taken. After me, it was the Eagles, it was the Bills, it was the Cowboys, the Ravens, all these winter teams. It gets back to me the second time around.
Okay.
Okay. So, I've given you an okay idea of who's left, but who, from what I've told you, who would you then take?
Now I'm going to go the winner's side, just thinking mentally. I'm going to go with the Bengals.
The Bengals were taken.
That's the other one. Okay. Let me think for a second, Kevin. If you have one, go ahead.
No, you said the Ravens.
I'm not giving you guys a guide to really look at, so it's a little
tough. Let me see.
Bengals.
Oh, I'll go Vikings.
Okay.
Vikings. Will be
Vikings
good,
winner?
Good winning team.
Really? As a winning team. Bengals. You said Bengals are gone. Bills are gone.
Yeah, I don't want to walk through all this again, so you can just say, I don't know.
Okay.
Kevin took 10 hours to get to that first Cardinals loser.
Kevin, and it's not real either.
Yeah, there's no money involved here.
You're not really playing.
Let's go with the Steelers.
I went with the Rams losers. I went with
two losers.
You're like, oh,
dang.
God, what an idiot.
Man, you think they're okay.
And you went with them as a winner last year, right?
I did, and they sucked.
Wow, that's why you're going this way.
No, I know. I think they're trying to tank the season, too.
Yeesh.
I think you got two teams that don't, and Cooper Kupp's out for who knows how long.
Sure.
I think you got two teams that want a quarterback. And so I picked two losers. So then it comes back to me the third round, and I'm like, I can't take all losers. So all those big teams were gone, right, that we mentioned. So in the third round, second overall pick, I took Jacksonville as a winner.
I like that.
Solid.
That's a good dark horse.
Division.
So, and there are no at this point, there are no teams over under Vegas, like 9 wins. So you're just kind of praying to God.
Did you get the Raiders?
No, I stayed away from them altogether. I had the Raiders as winners last year.
They messed you up last year.
They killed me last year. So that third round, I got Jacksonville winners. Comes back around on the fourth round. So again, not a lot of teams left. And you can tell me if you would have taken the winners or losers of this certain team, because it starts to be like that. I got Seattle.
I like that.
I didn't say winners or losers. I just said Seattle.
Right.
What would you take, the winners or losers of Seattle?
I would take losers on Seattle.
I would take winners.
I'm taking winners. I think they may win the whole division.
Yeah, because you already took two teams in their division as losers.
Geno's still their quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the 49ers will probably, but I think Seattle's got a good chance. And it's the NFC.
Yeah.
They're not having to play, for the most part, all those deathly teams of Kansas City, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Ravens. So I found an NFC team I thought that I could probably have a decent shot of getting lucky with.
They might be the oldest NFL team out there, huh?
Seattle?
Geno Smith, no, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. These are some old dudes.
They're actually like 28, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
it's like sports old.
Yeah, okay, they're 35.
Okay, so fifth and sixth round, people are just scraping. There are no really good teams, and all the really bad teams are also gone. So when you pick a team, you're picking them and you're just kind of flipping a coin. So in the fifth of six rounds, I picked the Titans.
I think Titans are going to surprise. Let's go winners.
Losers.
I picked the Titans winners.
Yes, sir.
Again, not a great division, but I have Jacksonville in that division too. And I also want to root for them.
Sure.
I was so in the middle that I want to root for the Titans. Yeah. So if I could just get the pick, I'm going to pick to root for them.
I do. Do you consider them your hometown team?
Well, hometown, yeah, but are they like my favorite team?
I don't think they're anyone's favorite. I don't even think they're Nashville's favorite.
Do you know why though? Because they haven't been around long enough. Yeah. It's not like there are generations of people to be like, my grandpa was a fan.
But did somebody ask the question of like, are there more? Oh, during our fantasy draft, somebody asked, are there more Preds fans in Nashville or Titans fans?
Well,
in
Titans,
Nashville?
Though, but just because NFL is so much bigger.
Okay.
But bigger Preds, stadium. Preds, same thing. Sports is bigger.
Yeah.
Preds, the same thing where they haven't been around for generations, so everybody's new. So it's also more welcoming to be a fan because no one's like, you're a bandwagoner. We're all bandwagoners.
Sure.
This thing hasn't been around for 80 years.
I think the Titans are going to be good this year, better than people think.
I do too.
And then what does that mean, though? Sorry, go ahead.
I think the Titans can win 10 games.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Like, what's the over-under on your games for them?
Yeah, more than half.
Okay.
More than half? Better than 500? Better than, yeah.
Well, the bottom last two pick teams you get, you just want to be over 500 with wins or losses. Because that way you're still in the positive.
Right.
And then finally, in the sixth round, I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm 35. Gosh. I'm 35 of 36 because I'm second overall, and I'm on the backside of that snake.
I want to guess who's in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like Denver's in there.
Denver was taken in the sixth round.
As a loser?
As a winner.
Oh!
What about Washington?
They were taken as a...
That's got to be a winner.
They were taken as a loser late, I believe.
Interesting.
I feel like they'd be a good
late winner.
I think just because Sam... I hear you. I don't. Again, it's going to be so close.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots.
Well, they were taken as both a winner and a loser.
Okay.
I can see that.
Oh, where were the Jets taken?
As a winner.
Okay.
In like the fourth round. The team that was I picked it and the same person picked it as a loser. I picked it as a winner. They picked it as a loser right after me. The last two picks were the same team.
Houston, no.
Oh, God,
Colts.
No.
Colts.
You picked them as a winner.
Colts were taken as a loser earlier. So the last team was the Bears. I took them as a winner.
Oh, you got to take them as a winner. They were bad last year.
They were real bad.
So they've got to be better.
Yeah, but better doesn't mean even 500.
Right.
And it's not get better.
Are you believing the Justin Fields comeback here?
I am now.
Because your money's behind
him. I'm forced to. The last eight games of last year, he played awesome.
And which is funny to hear that because I don't remember that.
I do because I was getting pissed because they were close every game because they had lost all games. And I was like, what's happening? Why are they playing or why are they winning occasionally?
Yeah.
I do remember that because it was driving me crazy.
Was that Justin Fields just using his legs the whole time?
Yes.
I'm tired of this crap.
At first, it was Justin Fields won't stay in the pocket to throw a ball because that offense was him trying to play out of the shotgun and drop back a bit, 1-2-step throw. And then they were like, he won't even stay. Then they're like, we're just changing how we're doing the offense. He's supposed to run, which I think nothing changed. He just ran. Yeah.
Let him do him.
But now they have a number one receiver. So that's my team.
Cool, man.
Do or die.
It's exciting.
The Rams and the Cardinals losing in the first time history of the league. Two first draft picks were losers. I don't really have a big for sure winner, though. Like a big playoff winner.
No.
But Jacksonville, possibly.
I like it.
I think, yeah, that's a good one.
See, maybe. But
especially
like
for the third round.
Yeah, third round.
Right? That's good.
Seattle winners.
Jacksonville snuck into the playoffs last year. Like, that's.
Yeah, and then they won
and
a game.
They won. They beat the Chargers.
You're right.
Which cost me money because I had the freaking Chargers.
Now we're seeing how you picked your team this year.
It's all vendettas against all ones. Yes. So those are my six teams. We're going to keep up with them. I will hear Rams, losers, Cardinals, losers, and the four winners are Jacksonville, Seattle, the Titans, and the Bears, which I got two NFC teams, two AFC teams. But my two AFC teams are in a bad division, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's that. We're from the plane right now, and how do you sign off? But we got to come back anyway in a minute.
Oh, Roger, we're going to sign off here for a second.
We're going to toss over to ourselves now.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you guys most looking forward to this week? It can be college, NFL. I'm sure with you guys it's NFL.
Always NFL.
Yeah, 1,000%.
See, it's not for me because my favorite team is college. I'm very much looking forward to the NFL. But so I'll go first. It's Arkansas again playing a slightly better team. It gives me a little hope that LSU lost, although I think they'll get better. But it's, you know, can we actually be competitive in the SEC West? That to me is super exciting. Yeah. To watch Colorado play again against a slightly better team. That's now let's see when people are Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Matt Rule. They lost too. Nebraska lost too, though. So it's not like Nebraska's awesome. That to me is exciting about Saturday. So that'll be it. You know, I was a Cowboy fan last year because I bought them.
Yeah. This year, are you not excited about the Cowboys this year?
I may put a future on them for the whole season.
Super Bowl?
That keeps me, yeah, like winning the whole thing.
I like it.
That keeps me in it. So you're most excited about this weekend?
I mean, it's got to be the Cowboys. I mean, you just want to see how your team's going to be this year. I think, you know what, if I can stay away from the Cowboys for 1 second, I want to see how the Colts, I want to see how, what's his name? Yeah, Richardson's going to play. I'm really curious to see how that turns out.
Well, I can tell you how it's going to turn out. You can save this clip. They're not going to win a bunch of games, but he's going to have flashes of, holy crap, that guy at times is really special. But he's probably going to put
up... Mahomes special?
Different. He hasn't played enough football, though, literally.
Yeah.
I think that with Anthony Richardson, he's going to put up big fantasy points and put up big stats, but they're not going to win a bunch of games because their two receivers are Pittman Jr. and Anthony Pierce.
Yeah.
And so when you have a rookie quarterback and then... I mean, Pittman's probably a good number two. Pierce is white.
Well, you know how that works out.
Yeah. So it's...
You're asking what he's doing out there?
Yeah. You're like, is he confused?
Isn't he supposed to be on punt team?
So I think I think they'll win a couple games they shouldn't.
Okay.
They won't win a whole bunch of games.
Okay.
But there'll be some promise. And there'll be some disastrous games.
Yeah.
But I think they'll put up good fantasy numbers generally. And they'll be excited about next year.
I want to see Aaron Rodgers, too.
That is it for me, NFL-wise.
I want to see Aaron Rodgers.
Are you rooting for the Jets or against the Jets?
Way against.
Oh, yeah, Patriots
I can't
fan.
Stand them.
Because
they're
you're
like
a Patriots
my Texas
fan?
For you.
But because you're a Patriots
yes,
fan.
Yes, yes.
So it has Jets, nothing to do
Giants.
With
the Aaron Rodgers stuff doesn't bother you, though.
Oh, I hate him now.
Okay, so yeah. You now hate him because it's not you hate the Jets because of him. You hate him now because he's a Jet.
Because he's on the Jets, yeah.
But do you hate the Jets slightly less because you used to like Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I hate them more now, maybe, because they have so much hype.
But you're a Patriots fan. It's so weird that you hate the Jets. The Jets have never been nothing but a blemish on your butt.
I know, and it's great.
And
but it's New York. It's still New York. I hate the Giants just as much.
It's weird because he's from California.
Okay.
True. That's true, too.
That's very bizarre.
I'm rooting for the Jets.
So am I.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for – you know what? They made a lot of gambles in this whole deal. Like, they
spent a bunch of money.
They spent a bunch of money. Let's see if it pays off. Like, I think I'm excited to see if it pays off or not.
Week one will be interesting with the running backs because Breece Hall coming off the injury. And also Dalvin Cook, who
wasn't really with the team that much. So you got two guys who aren't really conditioned. At least the expectation isn't week one. They're shot out of a cannon, ready to go as a back. But yeah, the Jets are awesome.
And who are his receivers?
Garrett Wilson.
Wilson? Okay.
Lazard? Lazard's one? Lazard. Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb.
Oh, Randall
all
Cobb.
All the Cowboys.
Forget about Randall Cobb.
Or, I mean, the Packers.
The Packers.
Hey, Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
All right.
Sterling Sharp.
Yeah, it's the New York Packers.
Bart Starr.
You brought them all out.
It's all the guys. So, Eddie and I are what we did with NCAA last year, where we had the Eliminator.
Yeah.
Where every.
Is that a Survivor or Eliminator?
It's same thing.
Same thing?
Yeah. Okay. So you have access to every team. You pick them, they win. You move to the next week,
can't
but you can never
again.
Use that team again. So,
okay.
Eddie is captain of our little team, and you have picked
the Baltimore Ravens
this week.
Yeah,
so they should win, right? Baltimore
playing Texans
at Houston.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
But you can never use them again.
Which is kind of always my strategy. Is like first things first. I look at the odds. Like who's got ridiculous Vegas odds?
It's Baltimore minus 10.
Right, so you see double digits, that's something. Then you look at who they're playing. Okay, they're playing a bad team. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, I think we're pretty safe here.
I feel it's pretty safe too, but the question is always, are you ruining a pick for later?
That's another thing.
If, because there are some games like some teams, Minnesota minus 6 at Tampa Bay.
Thought about that?
You know, there's only a certain, is Minnesota going to be as good this year? I don't think they are.
Yeah, so that would be a good one to take early.
I don't know if there's no such thing as a good one because all of them can lose. But even like Denver at Vegas, right? And that's a crazy. I would never pick this game for that.
Yeah.
Right. But when are you ever going to pick Denver? Only when they're playing a team like Vegas.
Yeah.
I would not pick them for this at all. But like Denver's a 3.5-point favorite. The Buffalo and the Jets game is that one's crazy.
That's
because I don't
so
even
close.
Know. That's just like right. You're just walking through a field.
Right.
And it's somewhere there's little landmines. You know, who knows? But it's super exciting.
What's your prediction on that? That game. You got to go Buffalo.
Yeah.
You got. I have this, you know, I close my eyes and I picture, I'm like, all right.
I'm going to go Jets.
Really? Oh, you're crazy.
I've missed so many. I'm just going the opposite of what I feel.
Hey, it worked last week, right?
Yeah.
You got to stop doing that.
I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm taking the Jets. Do I get the points or no?
No, straight up. Win or lose.
I'll still take the Jets.
Okay.
I believe in Aaron Rodgers and his terrible offensive line and old receivers, except for Garrett Wilson. And running backs that aren't healthy. Oh, God.
Yeah. Still going to go with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going
to
the Jets. Okay. And you're taking the Bills?
Man, I'm telling you, I look at the crystal ball and I see Aaron Rodgers just getting pissed. Just getting pissed because things just aren't going his way. I think the Bills are going to win this one.
Yeah? Yeah, I'm picking the Bills.
So.
They're more put together, man.
The Bills?
The Jets still look like they're trying to figure
but
it all out.
The Jets at least.
Well, the Jets have a weird color.
Games.
That's just a weird color anyway.
Green?
Yeah, the green's just weird.
Their helmets look like a lollipop to me.
Yes. And they're so shiny, they're like a lollipop. Before we wrap this up, I did watch the Florida Gators documentary series.
I did too.
I finished last night.
Everybody watched it. Okay. So, I had a different expectation going in.
What do you
mean? It basically was, let's make Urban Meyer look cool.
Yep.
Was he a producer in this?
I don't know.
It seemed like it.
Yep. But it was like, I started to like him, and I'm like, oh, I'm being tricked, because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
People that have worked with him that I know have been like, he's not a good dude. So they didn't even talk about all the arrests. They didn't spend really any time with Aaron Hernandez.
They just brushed the surface on that.
It was just like a documentary if the school were shooting it on wins and losses with some Tebow. It was not nearly as gritty as I thought it was going to be. The Pouncey twins didn't get focused on like a hard – they were going partying.
Yeah.
Aaron Hernandez only got mentioned punching a guy.
They didn't even show him.
Right.
They didn't show any of his plays, really. Like a
Hernandez,
couple of his plays.
Yeah, a couple.
But there was no focus. That was you know, what was he like in college?
Yeah.
Did him and Tebow, did they fight? Did they get along? I did enjoy it, but it was not what the expectation was, which was going to be a gritty series about Florida at that time. Mostly it was just like a – let's just follow the team along and see how they do. It's like what's the series they do on Netflix? Where they Last Chance You.
Oh,
it was kind of like that more than it was like behind the scenes of a famous team that got in a bunch of trouble.
What did you think of the culture? Like just that whole, it was almost military style culture.
But it really wasn't because 40 people got arrested.
No, I get it, but the training culture.
I hear you. I think
they were like literally beating each other up.
I think they heightened that to make Urban Meyer look like, he's a disciplinarian when he did not give a.
Yeah.
So I think that was high. Yes, were they doing that? Yes.
Okay, let me ask you this. When he talks about why he turns the other way, did you remember that part?
Because
he did it one time.
Oh, no, that's him looking for okay. He's like Salvation, yeah. Urban Meyer.
Right, right,
he's
right.
Like, I disciplined a kid once, and then he, like, killed himself.
Yes. So he'll never do it again.
And he's
so
like,
if
I'll never
see someone
like a kid,
mess up.
That's like, you're Eddie, you're a dad. So you're never going to discipline your kid.
Because one
you'll
took
never
it really bad.
Right. No, of course not. Maybe if you would have disciplined him at the beginning, if you would have had some sort of discipline for him early on, he wouldn't have fallen into the troublesome trap that he did there on campus.
I feel like he thought really long and hard how he's going to answer that question.
All of them. The questions. Yes. The whole documentary was him being like, wait, can we take a recut here?
Yeah. I still enjoyed it. But even the players that we're talking with that were constantly, they were like no names except for Tebow.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Spikes.
Yeah, you know what's true? I looked at Brandon Spikes, and he only played in the NFL for 6 years.
Yeah.
I thought he played a lot more than that.
Patriot.
Yeah. No name. I shouldn't say no name. I wanted Aaron Hernandez from the Graves.
I wanted Percy Harvin in there, too. I wanted to hear him.
And he had a bunch of mental health struggles. Like,
yeah.
Bad. Like, really went through it. Mm. They didn't really talk about it. There was just a lot that I thought they were going to get into because the
it's not like they didn't have time. It was a six-part. Was it six-part? Four-part?
Four. But the promos made us think they were.
Yeah.
I wasn't just like, man, they didn't give us enough of the sad or the promo to like the team like you've never seen it. And we know their history.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. I'll give it 3 out of 5 Gator Chomps. But I was expecting a 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5. You?
I'll give it a 2.8. I'm like you. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. But
that's annoying to do 0.8.
Why?
You only get half stars and stars.
Yeah, who does that?
Who does 0.8?
I do.
The same guy that's like, well, let me see. The first round. Hmm.
Oh, Eddie already took the.
But how do you even color in a gator at 0.8?
You color in. He's got like a couple missing teeth.
Oh, one tooth.
Couple
one
missing teeth. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
He needs to go to the dentist. No, I liked it. I thought it was cool. But like you said, my expectations were like, okay, I want to get in the ins and outs of this and see what really went down. But it was like a highlight of the team for 4 years. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It was still cool.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a lot of things that I've forgotten. But but also, they just kept losing.
Even they get so close.
And then lose.
Or they would start off undefeated for like 6 or 7 weeks.
And then Tebow's like, oh, we're just missing one. Well, there's like 4 teams that could say that.
Yeah.
That were 1 win away. But I do like Tebow. He's an awesome dude. I've met him a few times. I do love that dude. So I'm just going to say that for the record. I loved him, Tebow.
Yeah. What do you like how they all got together at the end. You know, a little barbecue. Whatever.
They were like, wow, Tebow wants to hang out with us?
Yeah,
they were all surprised that Tebow
never
showed up.
To talk to us.
Tebow's here? What do you give it?
I liked it. I mean, I like every football documentary. Like, just because I didn't know much about Florida then. So I learned a few things. But, yeah, the Urban Meyer stuff kind of annoyed me a little bit. Yeah. But I did. I would watch one episode. Then I would go on and do something else and be like, oh, I can't wait to get back and watch
another one.
Same.
I binged it. So I still really liked it. I just feel like they didn't give me what they said they were going to give me.
Yeah. What'd you do? 3.8?
No, 2.6599.42.86.
I'll give it a 3.
Banana peel. Like, what kind of scale is that?
3 Gator Chomps.
Okay, so that is it for this week. That parlay. We had to beep out me saying some stuff.
Yeah.
This is a... Yeah, if you've ever, like, wanted promised smiles...
You like it? You feeling confident?
It's a four-game parlay. Four-game parlay. We're going to bet a four-game parlay. All right, we'll see you guys. Follow us, please, at 25 Whistles on social media. We need the followers. And Mike, is there anything else I need to do? All right, from the airplane, what'd you get for lunch?
Caesar salad.
What'd you get?
Southwest chicken salad.
What'd you get?
It's called antipasto.
Oh. Is this because you just came back from Italy?
No, I always get it. It's like...
Now you just eat Italian food?
Meats and vegetables. It's not pasta, but still Italian. Yeah. You didn't order from the vegan menu. Good
I did
you,
not.
Buddy.
I found the real menu.
That's
now.
Yeah. All right, thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick
and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.